Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business with Justin Van Fulpen and Neil Stratton. As always, riding shotgun is Neil. How's it going this morning, Neil? Neil, you with me? Well, anyways, we've got some technical difficulties. We'll try to clear that up here. So, talking about different things going on in the NFL, the football business, and wanted to see, kind of the different views that both Neil and I have on that. One topic that we wanted to talk about that broke this week was Gary Vaynerchuk, who was an entrepreneur, author, and public speaker. He started Vayner Sports. In 2009, Gary Vaynerchuk wrote the book Crush It, and this year, with his fourth book, as far as Ask Gary V. So, Neil, how are you with me, Neil? Neil, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, Justin? I can hear you now. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, no problem. So are we talking about Vayner Sports?
Yeah, Vayner Sports. So, that's kind of the thing that broke on Tuesday. So we wanted to kind of start the show in regards to him, as far as Gary V. His fourth book just kind of came out here, Ask Gary V. So kind of, I know you wrote a blog about that and Succeed in Football. Kind of what were your thoughts about that, as it kind of broke here on Tuesday?
Well, the difficulty, obviously, Gary Vaynerchuk brings a lot of energy to Symmetry LLC. And this business is all about energy and all about buzz and all about excitement and all those kinds of things. It's one of the things that can kind of separate one agency from another, especially when two agencies are the same or maybe 10 agencies are the same, which is kind of where Symmetry is. They're still early in the business and they still aren't really established and they are like a lot of firms and probably tend to recruit players that are still, getting wooed by a lot of firms that are in similar size. And when you bring in a personality like Vaynerchuk, it allows them to separate themselves and allows them to be a little sexier and allows them to be someone who stands out a little bit more. So I think with regard to that, it's a big plus. But when you get past the initial introduction, you get past the start when maybe a player who's slated for 17 draft starts to really dig in and go from the 20 agencies that are reaching out to him in July, August, September, and then maybe when he gets to October, November, he starts to cut that 20 or 30 to 5 or 6, how does sports move to that second level? That's where it gets a little trickier. Now, they may make that second cut, but then in December, how do they get to being those top two or even the one? That's where I think it's going to take a more refined pitch to make sure that players understand, hey, I've got an ability to have someone to give my brand energy. And my experience has been that most players, when you're talking about December, they're just looking for how do I get to the league, how do I get picked as highly as I can, and given the fact that right now that firm doesn't necessarily have a tremendous track record for that because they're still kind of new and that's just something that's hard to do and they don't have the bright lights in their orbit, shall we say, the big players, the big names, then they're going to have to come up with an original way to kind of transcend that. And I think that's going to be the big challenge for Vayner Sports is, okay, yes, we've done some pretty exciting things. We're obviously good at establishing celebrity and we're good at establishing a presence on social media and we can do all those things and we've got a definite track record for that. But let's talk more about the football end of it. How does that help us? Where do we go from there? And so I think that's going to be the messaging is what's going to be important. I also think that they're going to need to recruit players whose parents are more active in the recruiting process, because I think the pitch that they will be able to give, at least again early on, is going to resonate more with the parents who can understand kind of the long-term business aspects and potential of being part of that, of the Vaynerchuk empire. And so I think they're going to, for that reason, to me, they're going to need to recruit players who are coming a little more educated, maybe coming from better schools, more stable family situations, players that are on track for graduation. They would seem to be the ones that are going to be more receptive to the promise and potential that Vanner Sports can bring them. So these are just some kind of initial thoughts. You referenced the fact that I talked about in my blog. I mean, several points there that I think, again, that develop this a little bit further. And those are all those points I think are true as well. I mean, it's going to be they're going to, I guess, on a more intimate level, strictly for Vanner Sports itself and not for the particular players that it's recruiting, they're going to have to recognize that this is a long game and that they're not gonna, nothing's going to happen overnight. And I don't think that they are looking at it that way, but they're also going to probably have to expand their recruiting waters. Their Symmetry primarily has recruited the Northeast in the past because that's where they are situated geographically. Now they went out and got Vernon Adams, who's on the other coast this year, and they've gone outside of their regular region. But they're going to have to expand that even further, in my mind. And they're also going to have to figure out, again, how does their message resonate? Who's resonate with? What does that bring them? I know that they have explored the fact that NFL teams, GMs, maybe even head coaches, that kind of thing, they know what Vanner Sports is, but does that necessarily translate to success with the players? Time will tell.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, the Vayner Sports is headed by two agents, Mook Williams and Brian McLaughlin. They were, like you said, formerly of Symmetry. It's Gary Vaynerchuk, his brother AJ, there, and they've all partnered to found this Vayner Sports, kind of a substitute of Vayner Media, which was a digital agency that Gary Vaynerchuk had started there. So, one more question I wanted to kind of touch on there, and it was something that Mook Williams had called me a couple of weeks ago to talk about some grades that I have had done and purchased my grades package there. So that's a shameless plug for me, but. He was saying, hey, they've got something big there and different things like that. We've seen kind of the celebrity, and Gary's kind of made himself a celebrity with social media, with his wine library, his YouTube channel, and kind of being able to, get speaking engagements and different things like that in the tech world there. We've seen Jay-Z with Rock Nation Sports, and then, we've seen other, kind of entertainers, rappers kind of get into this business. Jay-Z is the one who's been successful. They went and got Ronnie Stanley, a top 10 pick there this past year. Now, it's one thing, the NFLPA kind of turned a blind eye for Jay-Z recruiting there, now as far as in regards to the runner rule. Do you think the NFLPA will kind of turn a blind eye to Gary Vaynerchuk recruiting? And if you watch the video there with Darren Rovell from ESPN Business, he talked about going out there and recruiting, openly in the video. Hey, we're going to go recruit the kicker down to Memphis, and we're going to be watching the Hawaii game, and I'm going to talk to the the linebacker out there. So he went out there on a video and said he was going to be recruiting, which obviously breaks the runner rule there, since he's not licensed as an NFLPA contract advisor. So do you think the NFLPA will kind of keep his feet to the fire, or do you think it's something like Jay-Z where it's kind of will turn a blind eye to it?
I don't think the PA is going to lay a glove on him. I mean, the PA doesn't have the stomach to really fight hand-to-hand combat on the recruiting wars. They've obviously been successful in instituting the runner rule across the board with agencies that want to do things right and don't want to create extra static for themselves in the recruiting wars. It's worth it to them to pay the $2,500 or the $5,000 or whatever to get their lesser people that are more on the marketing side certified and not have to deal with that one extra level of trouble that might come from doing that. But there are still agencies that are using some people that are not part of the part of their firm, that aren't registered with the NFLPA, aren't technically agents. And so that's, so there's a bit of a precedent there. But I think more so, it's a real easy pitch for Vaynerchuk to say, I'm not an agent, I'm a marketing guy. I mean, I'm the king of social media, and I'm a marketing guru, and look at all these speaking engagements and what have you. And so I think anyone that's at all crafty has any savvy whatsoever in marketing and can approach things that way, and more importantly has a nice high-powered legal team, can probably get around that. I mean, it's, as you alluded to, the NFLPA built in a rule strictly for Jay-Z, so he wouldn't have to deal with this. And given that precedent, I don't see any reason why really anyone would have to worry about not being able to recruit. And now I should add that on a personal level, I think that's bogus. I think a rule is a rule and everyone should have to follow it. But I mean, I was very, I don't know, was I surprised? I hate to be cynical, but I wasn't real surprised when the NFLPA put in that, the Jay-Z rule. What surprised me was how many agents were cheered that, oh yeah, Jay-Z really showed them. Hey guys, they're making your life a lot harder. You don't have the celebrity that Jay-Z offers, but you never know. I mean, it's crazy to see how some people think sometimes. So I don't think this is going to be an obstacle simply because of that rule, because of that little carve out that they made for Jay-Z. I mean, they've really kind of opened the door for any bigger celebrity who's got a name and who's got a kind of a big personality, persona, whatever you want to call it, to just walk right in and become part of this. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe that's what the NFLPA wants. Maybe they want to bring more celebrity to the agent side of the business. Maybe they want it to be more of a glamorous kind of thing. Maybe that allows them to charge more. They're going to have an awful lot of people in about a month coming in and taking the agent exam between the 200 or so that failed last year, 200 plus their normal, presumed normal 250 to 300 people that are taking it. Maybe they want to even blow those numbers even more every year. I'm not sure. But the actions that the NFLPA takes to kind of confound agents and kind of reverse on their rules sometimes leaves you scratching your head, in all honesty. And for that reason, I don't think they can really stand in the way of Vaynerchuk, because there's, again, they've set this precedent, and that's just the way things seem to be.
Do you think then we'll see more celebrities or, people try to get into the agent business? Is that your gut feeling then there, Neil?
Well, I think that's true. However, Roc Nation really hasn't set the world on fire. They've had some successes, and they've been very vocal and out about that. But, with Ronnie Stanley, for example, is really, he's obviously an exceptional player, but he tweeted, I think, his freshman year, maybe even before he got to Notre Dame, how cool it would be to be represented by Roc Nation. That was really their only success story this year. The year before they had the running back, and he was success, obviously. But I think what they found is that this isn't nearly as easy as they thought it would be. Now, they brought John Thornton in this year, who came over from Octagon. John's an exceptional agent. He's had a great track record. He's had almost immediate success as a former NFL player who's an agent now, and you don't see that very often. So I think that was a wise move on their part. But I think, again, it's an indication that your celebrity can only take you so far. There's so much to know about this business. There's so many contacts to be made, and so often you need a network. And unless you just want to really roll the dice and, I guess, spend money on pricey runners or try to use your influence in ways that are a little bit outside the normal bounds of business, then you're going to have to ultimately have a good agent who can do this business and can do the recruiting and fight the wars on a daily basis. And so I think, again, you will probably have people coming in that are interested in it, and that think they can come in and make a big splash, and it looks really easy. But like any other business where there's a lot of money to be made, it's not nearly as easy as it looks. So there may be some people that kind of come in and touch on it, but I think Vayner Sports is an example of that. But long range, it's just tougher. I mean, this is a hard business. It's getting harder every day. The margins become tighter every day, seemingly. And so there's a lot of challenges here, far more challenges than are immediately available to see by the naked eye. So it may happen, but I think it's going to be very incremental, and I don't think that necessarily we're going to see a dozen entertainers enter the space in 2017 or 2018.
Gotcha. Well, it's definitely something that we'll watch, and obviously inside the league, we'll be tracking it. It'll be something that I know you will always take an interest in, and as far as track that, and as far as analyze the agency world there. So now that we're kind of into June, we're into kind of the start of really the recruiting for the 2017 draft. We'll see different people that are searching for information that's out there. It's kind of that time. So we want to talk a little bit about potential top 10 picks, really early kind of rankings. Something we've talked about kind of doing and kind of exploring there. And, I put together my top 10 guys that will be, eligible for the 2017 draft. And I think when you kick it off, you talk about Myles Garrett, the defensive end from Texas A&M. He's a guy, Von Miller is going to get a huge, money from Denver. Really, we're always looking for pass rushers, guys who can get after the quarterback. It's a passing league. You're looking for, four positions, pass rushers, left tackles, corners, and quarterbacks, And so that's really the guys who get paid the most. And that's what we'll see kind of in my initial top 10. And then you pop to Bama, Tim Williams from Alabama, the outside linebacker. A lot of people thought he would have gone there. Another guy who's a pass rusher, outside linebacker. He's surprisingly a senior. We don't see a ton of those guys here when we're talking about top 10, prospects there. Everybody's looking for those underclassmen, but Tim Williams is a guy who surprised a lot of people, went come back to Bama, so he's right up there in regards to a high first round grade. Leonard Fournette, the running back out of LSU, a lot of people compare his potential celebrity to LeBron James, who, so just a dominant physical force. He's been, a dominated guy since his high school there down in Louisiana. And he'll be a guy who, as far as Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's better than Ezekiel Elliott, who was number 4 pick this year by the Dallas Cowboys. So Fournette, is a guy to it's going to be, hugely watched in the Heisman, race here coming up. So number 4, Malik McDowell from Michigan State. I think it might be a surprise to some people, but this guy, I've seen him since he's a freshman. He is, we talk about pass rusher, talk about he can play all up and down the line in a 30 front and a 40 front. This guy's versatile. He's got pass rush ability. He's long. You're going to see his kind of star kind of raise there, similar to what, Joey Bosa was when he was a 3rd overall pick. I really like this Malik McDowell out of Michigan State. Number 5, another Bama, as far as pass rusher, Jonathan Allen there, another senior. Like I said, Alabama always has top prospects. Jonathan Allen is another guy who is a dominant pass rusher. And like I said, the NFL is always looking for pass rushers. Then we get into a couple of quarterbacks at 6 and 7 that I've got on my list. Deshaun Watson, the Clemson quarterback, a lot of people, favorite for the Heisman there. A lot of people think he could have been in the number 1 overall pick if he was eligible this year. I think he's got some, things he's got to clean up in his game. I think he's got to get a little bigger, stronger, but he's definitely a guy. And a quarterback who I like maybe a little bit, right there with Deshaun Watson, that's Brad Kaya from Miami. The Hurricanes obviously, in the past produced a lot of top quarterbacks in regards to Jim Kelly, Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde there. And the U kind of gets back probably, in the top of the first round this past, in the 2017 draft with Brad Kaya. So really like him. another guy from the SEC, a pass rusher again. I mean, I think that's the theme of probably the 2017 draft is going to be pass rushers. It's Charles Harris, a junior out of Missouri, a guy who had 18 and a half tackles for a loss, a guy who's, you know, an edge guy, and another guy people hadn't talked about a lot, but I think as we get, you know, push into April and in the combine, this is a guy who people are just going to, you know, he's going to just move up everybody's kind of draft board there. Then we kind of start with the number one offensive tackle. That's Roderick Johnson out of Florida State. You know, a guy who's long, athletic. You know, many people had talked about, you know, kind of the Alabama offensive lineman, Cam Robinson, being the number one offensive tackle. And he could be. You know, I think he's, you know, but he'd gotten some off-field, you know, issues, you know, so kind of have pushed him down, and Roderick Johnson, Florida State's right there as far as an athletic, prototype, you know, left tackle in the NFL. So you really see him there. And kind of rounding out my top 10 is Jalen Tabor from Florida, cornerback. There, a lot of people were really high on Vernon Hargraves, who went number 11 overall. But, you know, Tabor is probably a better prospect than Hargraves in regards to better size. He's, you know, almost 6'1". Everybody's looking for those long athletic corners. So, you know, kind of when we analyze that, we look at, you know, really a couple of offensive guys and the rest, you know, defensive guys and a lot of pass rushers there. I think, obviously, you know, the quarterbacks always get pushed up, and Kaya and Watson are definitely the two best quarterbacks there. So it's definitely something that we'll be watching, but we'll see as we kind of get into this, you know, recruiting, you know, with the top agents, like we talked about, you know, VaynerMedia or VaynerSports, you know, will they recruit these guys? Probably not, but Roc Nation, obviously they've gone after them. A lot of people have already connected Fournette with Roc Nation, Beyonce being from New Orleans, and there's kind of a natural symmetry there. So does Roc Nation go ahead and get Fournette? And then I know you had talked about, you know, in your one of your posts in regards to Myles Garrett with Vanguard Sports, you know, having Von Miller. Will they go ahead and get Myles Garrett there, the defensive end from Texas A&M? So we can kind of start, you know, connecting the dots in regards to where these agents will kind of get with these players, and we'll see, hey, you know, it's June, and will this, you know, be that when the signing happens, you know, 6 months from now when the season's, you know, over there. So kind of, you know, my initial thoughts and my kind of top 10 there as we move kind of in that process there into 2017 NFL draft there, Neil.
Let me – and that's a great top 10. Putting together a top 10, I've got a top 5 here. I mean, putting together a top 10, a top 5 this time of year is fun, but that's about as far as it goes. There's so many things can happen, obviously, between now and next year. The guys are so much – people forget there's so much going to happen between December and then in May, you know, the draft. There's so many things that happen during that type time frame. But here are my top five. I like, and all these names are part of your top 10. Number one, I've got Myles Garrett. I really expect him to probably be the top pick. I like Jonathan Allen maybe a little bit more than you do. The defensive end, Alabama, again, another defensive end, another pass rusher. Pass rushers don't ever go out of style when it comes to the NFL. I mean, everyone's trying to throw the ball and stop the guy from throwing the ball. And so pass rushers have a big responsibility in doing that, obviously. Leonard Fournette out of LSU, marquee player, marquee program, has had a lot of success. Not as much success against Alabama maybe as he wanted to last year. But if he can go out and really succeed against the big teams in the SEC or in an SEC schedule, then who knows, maybe even winds up being number one. I mean, he's a unique talent. He's got size and speed. Deshaun Watson, I think, is going to go in the top five. I would be shocked if he didn't come back, barring injury. If he didn't leave early, barring injury. Talented player. You alluded to the fact that he's got all the tools and perhaps may have been the top pick if he'd come out this year. I think that there's always inflation with quarterbacks. So, again, people just tend to get – NFL teams tend to get a little more excited about it. It excites the fan base. It gives – it puts a new spin on the team. It's almost like it reinvigorates everything when you have a new quarterback. And you saw that this year with the top two picks being passers. And then for number five, I've got Cam Robinson, the offensive tackle out of Alabama, who, again, isn't completely spotless, but plays a marquee position, and I think will excite a lot of teams. I think what you're going to see maybe in the short run, this may be the trend that we get to see over the next 2 to 3 years, and it'll be outside the bounds of what we saw this year. But I think more and more defensive ends and offensive tackles are going to be in your top five. And that's nothing new necessarily, but I think they're going to even come more to the forefront or perhaps start to have that inflation that you're seeing with quarterbacks. Why is that? I think those players tend to be more easier from an analytical standpoint, and as we see more analytics enter into the game, you can look at, you know, there's less with a quarterback. There's so many things to evaluate and so many things you can look at and so many questions that you have, and that's kind of what makes evaluating quarterbacks fun. You know, I've talked to scouts that have said the most important thing that I see when I go to a game is I want to make sure that I'm there and I can watch what the quarterback does on the sidelines when he's not on the field, and showing that leadership and all those kind of things in the intangibles. Those are all things that are non-metric. Those are all very subjective, and one team may like one thing versus another team may not like another, and you can't really point to it and say, well, one's wrong versus the other's right. However, with defensive ends, offensive tackles, more of an athletic position, more pure athletics, more of, hey, you know, how quickly can they move their feet? Can they, you know, can they get off the line? What does their 10 time look like versus their 40 time? Three cone, all those kinds of things. And those are starting to go more and more into the computer and get more and more precedence in things and become more and more important. And there are fewer intangibles there. And so I think that makes maybe for the kind of people that are crunching numbers and looking at this as a very dispassionate engagement of evaluation and not as much of, well, our scouts like this guy versus this is what the computer says, those players are going to start to rise to the top. That's just a trend that I have seen developing. Again, we didn't necessarily get that. We had two quarterbacks this year as the top two picks. Maybe the top three will be quarterbacks next year. But I just think that we're going to see more of a rise of the players that are more pure athletics, more easier to measure from that standpoint, and less and fewer intangibles. I think that becomes more important if analytics truly take hold, if the Cleveland model becomes one that other teams copy. And again, it's going to take a lot of success in the field for Cleveland for teams to start copying them. And until we take the field and start to see results, we're still a good ways off from that. But anyway, just we love to look at trends. We love to predict trends, and that's one trend that may be developing.
For sure. So, a couple minutes left, Neil, here on today's show, and it's always a great show with you. So we saw, as far as this morning in Dish Network, as far as they ditched the NFL Network and the NFL Red Zone, we'll see how long that lasts. Obviously, you know, it's a huge moneymaker for the NFL in regards to as they expand, because the Thursday night package there on the NFL Network, you know, and different things that they're trying to do with their, you know, far as media, different things like that. So that's an interesting thing that we'll see if that pops up there. So with a minute left here, Neil, any other news and notes or anything that's new that will be out as far as next week on Inside the League?
Well, today we'll have our Friday wrap coming out. We're going to dig pretty deep into the kind of players that the NFL teams look for, especially in the post-draft process, undrafted free agents, tryout players, what have you. It gives you a good indication, again, of what players are becoming premier and what players are maybe becoming a little more interesting for NFL teams. And it's our way to kind of identify trends as we enter into recruiting for 2017.
So, you know, definitely that's obviously, you know, really important there in regards to agents and your clients that, you know, kind of look and kind of going far as recruiting. So, you know, again, as far as it's always something in the football business, you know, last week we didn't know anything about Vayner Sports and that was breaking this week. We'll see what breaks next week. And as we kind of were able to wrap up next Friday and see what other things we can talk about in regards to inside the football business. So, as always, Neil, great show, and you have a great weekend.
You do the same, Justin. Thanks. Had a great time.